Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
After our last program, we showed how that God, the triune God, was the one who was instrumental, of course, in everything that was created. But as we showed from the various scriptures, it was always God the Son who was given credit for the actual calling forth of everything that was created. All right, I'm going to just go into verse 2 part way. Or verse 1, I'm sorry. We're going to finish the rest of verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, what's he referring to? Old Testament. The Old Testament, see? All right, now before we go back to the Old Testament, I want you to stop at Romans chapter 15. And I'm going to use a verse whenever I teach in Oklahoma here on our nightly classes. From the Old Testament, I'll usually use this verse as a basis for teaching the Old Testament. Because, like I've already said with regard to Hebrews, there's no plan of salvation as such in the Old Testament. There is nothing regarding church doctrine in the Old Testament. It was a secret that God had not yet revealed. But that doesn't mean we throw it away or we ignore it. No, we study it and we rest on it for this reason. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. I'll give you a minute till you've all found it. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, in other words, back in the Old Testament, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. You remember in the closing seconds of the last program, I said, how in the world could you take a kid who had never had grade school arithmetic, he had never had high school math, and then all of a sudden have him attend a university-level calculus class? Why, he would be lost in the first 3 minutes. Well, it's really not that much difference with the Word of God. If you haven't got an understanding of how all of this came about, it's pretty hard to just step in and say, yeah, I can believe that. And I don't think God expects that. And so we do. We use the Old Testament over and over as a background for our New Testament teaching. All right, now we're going to look at how the prophets spoke of these things. Now I'm going to take you all the way back to... Oh, I could take you all the way to Genesis. I suppose that wouldn't hurt. Genesis chapter 3. And we're just going to take a run up through the Old Testament as to how many times even the Old Testament writers made a reference to the Son. A lot of people think he's just a New Testament invention. No, 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 no. God the Son was already evident throughout the Old Testament. Chapter 3. And this, of course, is right after Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, and they are now a fallen race. But God comes right back immediately with a promise of a Redeemer. And that, of course, is going to be in the person of the Son. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we always call this the beginning of that line of Redeemer that will culminate with the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. Genesis 3, verse 15, where God says, I will put enmity between thee, that is Satan and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, which is a reference to Christ when you go to Galatians. It shall bruise thy head. In other words, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, which of course was a reference to God the Son, who at the crucifixion and at the resurrection in particular defeated all the power of Satan. All right, now I'm going to bring you all the way up to Psalms, if I may, to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. And of course, this is David at about 1000 B.C. Psalms chapter 2. I'm just going to use verse 7. Because I just want to show how that the Son has been constantly referred to all the way through our Bible. This is not just a New Testament thing. It's all of Scripture. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Psalms 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my what? Son. Capitalized. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And like I said in the last program, we're going to look at that begotten part at a little later time. All right, so from Psalms chapter 2, I think we can go all the way up now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll jump in at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now remember, this is a Bible study where we're not trying to lecture through these things. We're just going to be comparing Scripture with Scripture to see how that God spoke of the Son even in the prophets. All right, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us, the nation of Israel, unto us a child is born, unto us a what? A son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, the Son, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. See how plain all this is? The prophets are speaking of the Son in this way. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Remember I said last program, what did Philip ask in John 14? Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And what was Jesus' answer? Philip, have you been so long time with me, and yet hast thou not known? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, here it's laid out in the Old Testament that God the Son would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, now let's just come all the way up, if you will, to Daniel. Chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And now, of course, we're looking at an end-time scenario, but nevertheless, it's still in the prophets. It's still Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7. And drop in at verse 13. Daniel 7, verse 13. Y'all got it? Now, I'm slowing this down because I keep getting comments from our television audience. Don't go so fast. We can't find the references. So, bear with me as we try to slow it down. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the... What's the next word? Son. Capitalized again, see? One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him, that is the Son, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion and everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. All right, now then, let's just come on up into Matthew. Now, I look at the four Gospels, of course, as an extension of the Old Testament, because it is still all Jewish, it's still under the law, and we're going to show the same thing, even in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a what? Son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All right, let's go and see how Luke treats it. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Oh, my goodness. I don't even hardly know where to come in. And let's start with verse 30. I think that'll be all right, hon. Luke chapter 1. Let's jump in at verse 30. Y'all got it? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a, what? Son, and shall call his name Jesus. Come on down to verse 35, the last part of the verse. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So you see, this is all part and parcel of the theme of Scripture introducing us to the Son. All right, now then, in fulfillment of what we just read in Genesis 3:15, let's go to Galatians from Paul to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. Now, I hope this isn't just an exercise in futility. I hope you're seeing how that the theme all the way from Genesis has been introducing us to this person of the Godhead that is called the Son. All right, in Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God, the triune God, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and made under the law. What did he send forth? His Son. See? And he made under the law. Well, I guess we could even look at some others, even in Paul's writings. But this is how the Old Testament and the Gospel accounts, as well as some of Paul's later letters, are referring to this person of the Godhead, then, that we have to lift up as the Son. He is unique in that role in the Godhead. All right, now I'm going to take you on into verse 2. The same God, the same triune Father, Son, and Spirit that spoke to the fathers concerning the Son, has now spoken, verse 2, has now spoken in these last days by Son. Now I'm going to throw a curve, Ed. The first time I read it some time ago, I couldn't quite fathom it. And it will. It'll take a long time for it to really get an impact on you. But the word His has been added by the translators. Have you noticed that? I never did for years and years. That word His is not in the original. Neither is there an article in the Greek. And so the Greek reads like this, Hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son. Now you say, no, that don't sound right. Well, it does after you really start thinking about it. Because you see, Son by itself can be a what? A title. How many fathers haven't you heard, instead of calling their son by his first name, what do they call him? Well, come on, son, let's do this. Son becomes his title. And that's the way I'm beginning to look at this. He hath in these last days spoken by Son. The title. And the emphasis has to be just the way I'm putting it. He hath spoken by Son. His title. Now, let's go back and see if we can pick up a little bit of what we mean by that. Come all the way back to Acts. In Acts, when we begin Christ dealing with the Apostle Paul. And I think I can take you to chapter 22. Acts 22. And while you're looking that up, I'm going to put something on the board that usually shakes a lot of people. And that is that whenever the Scripture speaks of the last days, we're speaking of His first advent. The 3 years of ministry, His crucifixion, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension back to glory in Psalms 110, verse 1. All of that that took place in that first advent is considered in Scripture the last days. Now, I know that sounds confusing at first, but you see, this is the only thing the Old Testament looked forward to, was that after His ascension, then would come the tribulation, the 7 years, then He would return, and then He would set up His kingdom. Which means that from the time of His crucifixion until all things would be the beginning of eternity, there was only 7 years left. And so this first advent then, according to all the Old Testament accounts, was the last days. See? And Paul, of course, is in this period. He's within just a matter of years from the crucifixion that he begins his ministry. So Paul, too, is still involved in what the Scripture calls the last days in light of the Old Testament prophecies. All right. So Paul, too, is considered as part of the last days because they had no idea that there would be 1900 and some years of the church age. That was unknown to the Old Testament writers. And so they spoke of it over and over as the last days, and Paul does even in Hebrews chapter 1. All right, here's where I think we can jump in now and see various ways that the Son spoke now in these last days. Acts 22, verse 17. Paul has now been out amongst the Gentile world, establishing his little congregations of Gentile believers. He has come back to Jerusalem, and he's always having a heavy heart for his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Jewish people. And here again, he goes before this great multitude of Jews to try and convince them that he wasn't just a renegade, he wasn't an impostor to the truth, he wasn't a heretic, but that he was proclaiming everything that the Old Testament had prophesied and that Christ had fulfilled. All right, so he comes back to Jerusalem. He's in the temple. Verse 17. And it came to pass, and when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him, the ascended Lord, the Son, I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And then Paul comes back into the first person and he says, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death. I kept the raiment of them that slew him. But now here again, the ascended Lord, Son, speaks. And he said, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentile. Now this is unheard of. This is unheard of. A lot of people just can't get that through their head. I know they can't. That Jesus never had a ministry amongst the Gentiles. Somebody was just telling me yet today that last Sunday's Sunday School Quarterly had something about Jesus going to Gentiles. No, he didn't go to Gentiles. He made careful that he never did, except those two exceptions, because this was left for the Apostle Paul. And so from the words of son, what does he say? Depart. I will send you far hence to the Gentiles. Listen, that was unheard of. That was a whole new beginning. All right, now then, let's come on over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And let's just jump in at verse 11. Galatians 1, verse 11. Oh, got it? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, that is, by other men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? The Son spoke to the apostle. Not through the prophets, but through this apostle. And it's the Son who is now speaking. All right, let's come on over to Colossians again, as we saw in the last program. But let's go a little further in Colossians. Go to chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll just, for sake of flow, as I call it, let's drop in at verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. And now remember, as Peter admonished us, that the Apostle Paul's writing is Scripture. It's the Word of God. And you can just sink your teeth into it and rest on it, see? All right, so Paul writes here, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, in the Son, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, how? Bodily. Isn't that amazing? Oh, and that's hard for people to see. How can it be? Because He was manifested in the flesh as God. He went to the cross as God. We were just talking at break time. How many people realize that the hill on which He was crucified was of His creation? How many people realize the wood of the cross on which He was nailed? He created it. How about the Roman that drove the spikes? He created him. He's the creator of everything. And oh, it's so hard for people to see this. And yet He has spoken from that ascended place in glory now through this apostle who is lifting Him up in the book of Hebrews now as Son. All right, let's come back to Hebrews for just a little bit yet. Chapter 1. And so, this same God that spoke in the Old Testament, this same God is now speaking through Son, His title. And we have to understand who He is. He's not just the carpenter's son. He's not just someone who was a martyr. He's not someone who simply wasted his life and was crucified. He was the eternal Creator Son. And we're going to see in another program how that when He was raised from the dead, He just literally exploded with power, the likes of which the universe has never seen. Even the power of creation does not compare with the power of His resurrection. And oh, let's never lose sight of that.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.